The book of Job, Job chapter 10. We're going to read verses 1 through 12, responsively, Job chapter 10. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, why God declares war on his children. Why God declares war on his children. Job chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Shall we stand together, please, as we read? I'll read verses, odd verses, you read the even verses, responsively, Job 10, 1 through 12. My soul is weary of life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. And that line is the text there. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress? That thou shouldest despise the work of thy hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Are thy days as the days of a man, or thy years as man's years? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. In the second verse, that little statement, show me wherefore thou contendest with me, the word contend there is a very strong word. The word is war, or warreth with me. Show me why you're at war with me. He said, Dear Lord, show me why you are warring with me. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, why God declares war on his children. Heavenly Father, thy word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Thy word is like honey for our strengthening and for our sweetening. Thy word is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. Thy word is like a fire that burneth out the dross. Thy word is like the water that cleanseth. I pray this morning, all of those and more shall be this passage from thy word to our hearts. Dear God, there are a lot of people this morning in this room with hearts that are breaking right half in two. And they say with Job, why contendest thou against me? May we help them to understand this morning. Give us what thou hast for us and what we need, that we may in turn give to others what they need. Amen. And now, our Father, it's so hard for one man to know, much less meet the needs of a great host of people. And so I need your help. I need your direction. I need your leadership. I pray this morning that the preacher will be what the people need. Speak to our hearts, and may we listen carefully to the preacher and to thee. Amen. Job said, or asked, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. That's a strange statement for a creature to ask his God, show me why you appear to be at war with me. What a statement. God warring with man. Will God battle against his own creature? Will the everlasting Father fight against an insect such as we? Would one hunt a pheasant with an army? Would one attack a gnat with a shield and spear? Shall the dragon combat the worm? Shall the author of hurricanes and tornadoes attack a babe in his crib? Job looked up to God and said, I can't understand it. Why contendest? Wherefore, contendest thou with me? I can't understand it. Job said, Lord, I'm not a wicked man. I'm not a heathen man. I'm not an indecent man. I can't understand it, Lord. Why? Lord, I wasn't out in sin when you attacked me. I wasn't a doubter, nor a heathen, nor an atheist, nor an agnostic. Lord, I wasn't. And I'm not a wicked man. Why contendest or warrest thou with me? And yet, in spite of the fact that it seems almost unbelievable that this could be true, it is true. Job had been attacked by the weapons of wind, fire, germ warfare, and death. And sad to say, they were always attacks allowed by God and were given or placed against Job with God's permission. It is no small wonder he asked the question. Now, Job knew there was a reason. He didn't ask the question, is there a reason why you contend with me? Job didn't say that. Job knew there was a reason. He said, God, all I ask is that you show me why. That's all. Just show me why. Some of you lie in garbage coals of disease this morning. You scrape yourself with the potsherd of depression. And you too know the way to the graveyard, as Job did. And you too have gotten to where it seems that you can list the doctor as one of the dependents on your IRS form. You too are clothed with the ashes of burned dreams, and as you fellowship with loneliness, pain seems to be your tenant. And you look to God this morning and say, Dear God, why contendest thou with me? Or show me wherefore thou contendest with me. You carried her beneath your own breast. You entered into the jaws of death to give her life. You cuddled her next to your own breast, and she sought succor from your own breast in the early moments of her life. You clothed her and fed her and loved her, and her every need was your desire to grant. You taught her. You gave her piano lessons. You gave her all that you could give her. And then she broke your heart. You look up to God and say, Dear God, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Lord, I'm not a wicked woman. I'm not a wicked man. And I can't understand why thou contendest with me. You went to the doctor. And the doctor took the examination. And you called in at prayer time and you said, Please pray that the test will be okay. And they went back to the doctor to receive the results of the test. And the doctor had a sober look on his face. And the doctor said, It's cancer. Well, maybe this week's been a little more tearful than usual. Maybe more people have burdens. Oh, can you imagine that little lady that will sit here in the funeral service on Thursday afternoon? And can you imagine you looking at the face of your 12-year-old daughter and your husband? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the heartache that these ears must hear? And can you imagine the tears these shoulders must catch? And I'm sure that numbers of you that I know, the dozens of you, I know who you are, dozens of you that I know, and hundreds of you, I do not know your burden, but you have one. You look up and you say, Dear Lord, show me wherefore thou contendest with me. You've examined your heart. You've confessed every known sin in your life. You've laid on the altar everything in your life as far as you know. You've made it right with every enemy. And you're busily engaged in God's work. And you're doing what you can to serve God any way you can. And you give 10% of your income to support him who is attacking you. And you testify to others of his goodness. And yet you have to ask the question, Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. May I answer you this morning? May I give you some possibilities? Why does the Lord attack you? Why does the Lord, and it seems like you're living right and you've tried to serve God and all of a sudden everything's been pulled out from under you? Why? Why? Show me wherefore thou contendest against me. I can show you. In the first place, God is creating hope in you. Did you know, folks, there's no way to learn about hope until there's hopelessness? And sometimes God contends with you and places the heartaches on you, so you'll learn about hope. Our faith never looks so good in summertime as it does in the wintertime. Our faith is like the glowworm. It showeth but little in the light time, but when it travels in darkness, it shines brightly. Hope, like the star, is only seen in the nighttime. I have a watch here, and it's one of those digital watches. You push it, and it tells you what time it is, and you push it twice, and it tells you what date it is. You push it and hold it. It tells you what time it is and how many seconds in the hour. Push it three times. It tells you what you're hungry for, and so forth. But the strange thing about this watch, when I'm out in the sunshine, I cannot see this watch. No way in the world. I mean, I get out underneath the noontime sun, and I hide it like that, and I do it like that, put my hand over it like that, or go inside, or just hang it. Didn't care what time it was anyhow. But you can't see that watch in the noontime. It only shines brightly if it's not beneath the glow of the sun. And let me tell you something, precious friend. Hope does not shine at noontime. Hope shines at midnight. Hope never shines when the clouds are cast away. Hope never shines until the clouds come and the darkness comes. One of our young men, the other day, I do it quite often. If they asked me to, went down to the jewelry store. And we purchased a ring, and he gave it to his fiancée. I went with him because we want to get a good deal. And I've been to the jewelry store with many young men, and I said, how much is that ring? And the fellow told us, and I said, now, I don't mean to a stranger. I'm a friend. And I said, what is it to a friend? And he said, a little bit lower. I said, but how about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? And he said, a little bit lower. I said, look, I'm like one of the family here. And he brought it down a little bit more. And I said, good night. I feel so close to you folks, I'm having you over for Thanksgiving dinner. And they put it a little lower. And I said, but this poor young man here. I said, his mother's 92 years of age. She's giving birth to twins right now at this very minute. And I said, it looks like to me you ought to go down lower than that. And so it went down lower than that. But wait a minute. When time came to show the rings, he took the rings out of the case. Did he take his handkerchief out and put the ring in the case? No, he didn't do that. He took a dark material out and placed that ring on the dark material. Why? Because that ring shines its loveliest in the darkness, with the darkness as a background. And God looks down to you, and God says, I want to give you some hope. But hope is not bright at noonday. Hope is not bright when things are going wrong, going well. Hope is right when things are going bad. Let me tell you what hope is. You want to see hope? Huh? The mother says, he'll come back. He'll come back. Yeah, he's going to come back. He is. Yes, he is. That's hope. You know what hope is? Hope is when the person says, I know I had cancer, but I'm cured. I'm going to get well. I feel like God's cured me. I'm going to make it. That's hope. You know what hope is? Hope is saying about the little boy that has leukemia, it's arrested. He's doing real well, and I believe God's going to heal him. That's what hope is. You don't know these names. I think it's worth you listening. The name is Krenz, Briku, Hartley, Braley, Clark, Taylor, Woodward, and Huss. What do those names mean to you? Not a thing. But those names are some of the great names in history. When the Titanic was sinking, that biggest ship on the ocean at the time, when the Titanic was sinking and 1,500 people went under with it, these eight men got their instruments and went on the first deck as it began to sink, and they started playing Nearer My God to Thee on their instruments. When the water got up past the first deck, they went to the second deck and they raised their instruments as the water got higher, and these eight men played Nearer My God to Thee. When the water got up to the second deck, they went to the third deck, and they played it again, and on to the fourth as the water got higher, and the fifth, and sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth, and that great 11-deck ship. Finally, when that water, the Titanic, got up on the 11th deck, the man waved his baton above the water and got on his tiptoes and began to wave his baton. And as he did, the men got on their tiptoes and lifted their instruments as high as they could.
and they prayed, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. I'm saying on the bottom deck, they had hope. They went to the second deck, and they had hope. They went to the third deck, and they had hope. And sometimes God comes down and says, I'm going to bring the clouds and the midnight and the darkness and the heartache and the sorrow. Why? Because God wants you to teach you how to have one of the most important things you can have in life, and that is hope. God says, I want to make it so. And that's why, Job, I'm contending with you. Job, you would never have said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If you hadn't have seen the darkness, if I had not contended with thee, you would never have said, though the worms destroy my body, yet I'll rise the last day. You'd never have said that. Never would. You'd never have said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Let me tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if the darkness is shining as a background on your life, God is simply saying, I want to put the jewel of hope and let you see it and teach you how to have hope for the future. There's a second reason why God contends, and that is God is displaying you. God is displaying you. Go to the forest someday. All is quiet in the woods. The animal kingdom is all resting. Maybe it's evening time. And then the intruding footstep is heard. The animal kingdom is all of a sudden quickened because that which was resting now is quickened because of the intruding footstep. And sometimes our trials and footprints awakens our patience, awakens our faith, awakens our grace, awakens our courage. A tender plant grows beneath a big oak tree. The oak tree sheds its leaves and branches out over that little plant, little tiny plant that grows. And then one day the woodman comes and he has a big axe and he fells that oak tree. And the oak tree is gone and that little plant says, wait a minute, wait a minute. My shelter's gone. My protection's gone. My shade is gone. Somebody comes and says, no, little plant, that isn't exactly what's happened. Now then the sun can get to you. As long as you're protected with the shelter of that oak tree, you didn't have the sunshine, but now the sunshine can get to you. And I want to tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. God's special care is toward those who have burdens today. You ladies that are widows, did you know God is more burdened about you, concerned about you this morning than he is the woman that has a husband? Did you know God's more concerned about little Mrs. Butcher today than he is those of you? And by the way, if you have a child this morning, and that child is well and healthy, you ought to jump up and down and clap your heels together and say, glory to God, praise the Lord. Oh, if you could live like I live, if you could walk with me for 1 week, if you could hear the stories I hear, if you knew the burdens that I helped to bear, and if you knew all the heartaches of this great people that God has called me to lead, I think those of you that are well and have healthy children and have a good job and can pay your bills and drive a nice car and good... Listen to me! I talked to a family this week that had gone 3 days in this church and had not eaten one bite. They didn't tell anybody. You pick up, you go home and have a long distance call, return and pick up your telephone and call. One of your dear ladies says, my husband and my daughter drowned. I remembered a few days ago when I called that little girl in my office, 12-year-old girl that drowned, called her in my office. She'd been going through some trials. And I told her about the time when my daddy left our home. I told her how that I tried to be a help to my mother. I tried to encourage that little girl. Oh, you think of it this morning. You think of it. You think of it. But you say, preacher, why does God allow it? Why does God contend with me? God contends with you because God wants to stir courage in your breast. And God wants to give hope beating fast in your breast. And God wants to display you as his child. May I say this in closing? And I think this is so important to understand why God sometimes contends, why the shadows seem like they never cease, and why the sun seems like it avoids your house. God wants you to be like himself. Wait a minute. God wants you to be like Himself. May I tell you a little story? One day, standing on the hearth of our house, when Cindy was just a little tyke, she said, "Daddy, could I sing?" I guess all of us are that way. When we're little, we think we can sing. Some of us are big and still think we can sing. And but Cindy said, "Daddy, could I sing?" And she stood up on the hearth of the fireplace of the only house she's ever lived in till she got married. And she sang, "To be like Jesus, to be like..." Pulled her dress all the way up and twisted it, you know. "Like Jesus, all I ask to be like Him." And while she sang that, "To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like Him," I got under conviction. I mean, I never had a song to pierce me any more than that. No invitation song ever convicted me more than that. And I went and got in the car and drove around in the country. And I said, "Dear God, I'm going to get this book, and I'm going to learn everything that Jesus was and every way I'm supposed to be like Him. And I'm going to do the best I can, if I can, to be like Christ." I got the Cruden's Concordance down. I opened this book and got the Cruden's Concordance. Every place in the Bible, for example, "As He is, so are we in this world." It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And I got every place in the Bible that talks about being like Jesus and looked it up. I went down to Greenville, South Carolina, stayed in a guest room down there at Dr. Harold Sadler's church. I was preaching there for a few days. And I walked the floor and I said, "Oh God, I want to be like Jesus as best I can." And, you know, I thought about loving like Jesus and forgiving like Jesus and working like Jesus and showing grace like Jesus and being kind like Jesus. But there's one thing I never noticed. Wasn't long till a burden came in my life. Wasn't long till the shadows came. And the dear Lord seemed to say, "You wanted to be like Me, didn't you? Huh? Don't forget," He said, "I was crucified. Don't forget, if you're like Me, you've got to suffer." And that's why sometimes the Lord allows trials, heartaches. Ladies and gentlemen, blessed is the plow that furrows our ground. If that plow is the same plow that caused the furrows in His brow. Blessed is the mouth that spits on me, if that same mouth has cast spittle on Him. Blessed is the vinegar that I have to drink, if it comes from the same cup from which He drank. Blessed are the thorns which pierce my brow, if they come from the same tree that pierced His brow. Blessed is the whip that scourges my back, if it's the same whip that scourged His back. God wants you to be like Him. Forgive me for, again, using some names that I've used often. Ask Mr. Gephardt how he's feeling sometime. Ask Mr. Bruick before he passed away how he felt. I saw that good man, Mr. Bruick, hanging on the wall over here in that hallway. Couldn't hold his body erect without leaning against the wall, dying with cancer. And I said, "How you doing, Mr. Bruick?" Smiled. He said, "I'm going to make it." I saw him walk down that hallway and come out here in this room right over here and laid down on his back because he couldn't sit up in a pew so he could hear me preach. You say, "Why does God allow a good man like that to suffer like it?" I'll tell you why. God wants to put the black background to show His jewel of His hope and His faith and His courage that all the world may see. The grace that God gives to those who are His own. And that's why you have a heavy heart this morning. And that's why God has allowed this thing to come in your life. Job said, "I'm not a wicked man. I'm not a wicked man. I'm not a mean man. I'm not. I may not be all ought to be, but I'm not wicked, and you know it. Wherefore thou contendest thou with me?" God said, Joe, I wanted to show you what hope was like. And I wanted to put you beneath in front of a black background so the whole world could see the gems of my grace. I want to work with the world to see the courage I can give. I want the world to see. I talked to one of our ladies this morning. You saw her in the hallway. And she's smiling, and I said, you're having to fake the smile this morning, aren't you? You're having to fake it this morning, aren't you? A lot of folks in this room faking smiles this morning. And with the grace of God, sometimes His grace is so sufficient, we don't have to fake it. It can be real, even though the shadows have come. And so this morning, those of you that are neath the shade, and those of you that noonday is still midnight, and though it's just about 3.5 minutes or so until noontime, the darkness is just as dark as it was last night when the new day was ushered in. God in His mercy is teaching it a hope. And to those of you who are not still saved this morning, if you do not know that you're going to heaven when you die, let me bring out some Christians. Let me bring out some people that have had it tough. Let me bring out these folks in wheelchairs and little Phyllis Penton down here and others. And let me ask you to focus your eyes on those people who smile at midnight and clap their hands in the darkness and shine as the stars in the nighttime and glisten as a diamond against the black darkness of a dark rag. Why? Because Jesus came in. That's why. And He makes a difference. And let me just show you those people. And when you see them, you'll find out there's something real about this faith. And you'll hasten to the Jesus that can give you that same faith also. Oh, to be sure. Sometimes you'd have to say, Lord, I know there's a reason. I'd like to know why. As Job did. There is a why. There always is a why. I'll stand here behind this pulpit next Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And I'll try to explain why. And I'll go to my study and I'll weep because I failed. And I'll hurt because some of mine hurt. But let's just keep on serving. Just keep on going. Just keep on working until the day comes. All the whys are revealed. And we get to heaven. And then we'll say, Lord, I'll ask you about this. Why about that? And He's going to say, okay, here it is. And I'm going to say, oh, why didn't I figure that? Good night. Why didn't I figure that out? Lord, how about this one? Lord, why was Ms. Erickson like she was? And the Lord's going to say, you think she's bad. Randy's in worse shape than she is. And He's going to say, here's why. And I'm going to say, oh, sure. Why, of course, I understand it now. I sort of think the best thing for me to do is just trust Him right now. And say with Job, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Our Heavenly Father.